High fly ball, deep right field. Wood back, track, wall, see ya! A big two-run home run for Chisholm. And the Yankees retake the lead. They're up 4-3.
That's a depressing way to end a Friday night. That was last night at Nats Park. Jazz Chisholm, a two-run shot in the ninth, and on a silver platter, he delivered the Nationals' 26th blown save of the season. It's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. We're taking your calls, 800-636-1067. This has convinced me more than ever. I was already in this camp, but it's convinced me more than ever. The Nationals need to buy at the deadline. They are too good offensively to allow this season to go to waste. 26 blown saves in 53 opportunities. It's one of the worst percentages right now with Major League Baseball. They have six more blown saves than the Detroit Tigers, who are second on the list at 20. They are quite literally giving games away on a routine basis. If they were not doing that, if they had a bullpen that was just average, mid, middle of the pack, they'd be competing right now with the Atlanta Braves for the top of the division in the month of July. This isn't April. This is the month of July. What should they do at the deadline? 800-636-1067. Joe has been on hold for a minute. I appreciate that, Joe. What's up, man? How are you?
All right. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well.
Good. Well, listen, right now I believe the problem with this team is ownership. Ownership is incompetent, and if it was corporate America, they'd be having a new CEO or a fire sale. I mean, you just don't operate. This is a great offense, man. I mean, we're second behind the Yankees in offense. And then, to top it off, we saw this movie way back when they were playing Philadelphia, in the Philadelphia series. So they're not being attentive to what needs to be going on. And it's really a tragedy because the offense is that good. We just need a little help. I'm with you 100%. We don't go out here and spend $1 million. We just need help. And it's a shame because at the end of the day, the fans get screwed. The fans get screwed in all of this. And I'm a fan. So anyhow, tell me what you think.
I mean, Joe, I appreciate it. There's only so many of these kind of games because, as you mentioned, the Philadelphia series a couple of weeks ago, that should have been, hey, we need to make an adjustment here. And unfortunately, like, the biggest adjustment was going out and getting Matt Crook, who then gave up the homer last night. But that should have been the telltale sign. Something needs to change. And the ownership, who brought the team a championship in 2019, and they brought the team a championship in 2019 by doing what? By spending. They spent on pitchers. They were not afraid to spend on pitchers. And they're sitting here now in 2026, and they're waiting. And I don't know what they're waiting for. I don't know what the timeline is as to when they're going to decide to spend money again. Because we're not asking you to be the Yankees. We're not asking you to be the Mets or to be the Dodgers. Don't go out and sign multiple $100 million contracts immediately. Don't go out and buy guys that you are going to sell the entire farm system for. You're going to have to give up a couple of prospects. That's how this works. We know the game. They know the game. That's how this works.
I think people forget that in 2019, the Nats bullpen season ERA was 5.6. It was a very mid bullpen. I mean, this bullpen is historically bad.
It's way
you can
worse.
Be mid and win a championship. You don't need to be the Dodgers or the Mets or the Astros and sign Hader for $19 million. Look at we just mentioned the White Sox and what they're doing. Now, the problem is, Denton, and I want to know your opinion on this. By the time we get to the trade deadline, there's still going to be the majority of the teams in playoff contention. So what does that mean for the Nationals when it comes to trade possibilities? I'm not sure. Now, the Angels do have a solid bullpen, and that's a team that you can aim for. But as a whole, there might not be a lot of options out there.
No, and that is the one fault in my current argument is that there are... So the Nats right now are four games out of the wild card. behind Miami. But in this cluster of teams that I would say are within reasonable distance of that final wild card spot, you got the Cardinals, who are 2 games out, the Nats, who are 4, the Pirates, who are 4.5, the Diamondbacks, who are 4.5, the Padres, who are 5.5, then there's a little bit of a jump, and it's the Reds, who are 8. You have the Mets, who are 12. Doubt they're going to do a deal with you. Interdivision, unlikely to happen. So, but that cluster, you're right. There's a lot of teams that are still realistically in striking distance of the wild card. It's even more of a logjam in the American League. The Mariners have the final wild card spot at a game below 500. Then you have the Twins, who are 1 game back. The Astros, who have the best bullpen in baseball, so they're not going to sell. The Astros, Blue Jays, Red Sox are all 1.5 games back. The Tigers are 2.5 games back. Baltimore is 3. Then you get the A's at 5.5. The Royals and the Angels are 9. We're going to call those two teams out of reasonable reach. They're just not very good this year. So that is the one flaw in my plan, my blind plan of just go out there and get help. Because you have to find somebody to dance with. But I do think ultimately, and we see this year over year, that there are teams that are still technically in striking distance, but they understand what we are doing this season is not sustainable. It's better for us to get something in return and let somebody else go to a team that is moving in the right direction. And this is one of the few years where Washington can say, we are definitively moving in the right direction when it comes to our offense. Our offense is so good right now that we can justify going out there and spending money. And again, it doesn't need to be $50 million, $100 million that you're going out there and spending to acquire the contracts of really good relievers that could effectively be the closer. But you need to go out there and get better arms, because what you cannot do is, with respect to Matt Crook and the journey that he has been on, he can't be a guy coming into the ninth inning against the New York Yankees. That's not a good spot for him. It's not a good spot for your team. He doesn't excel in that spot. I know you wanted a lefty versus lefty matchup, and I get the process and the plan that you have there, but you cannot force him into that position. He's not ready for it. So you got to go out and find somebody who is. There is going to be somebody out there. You might have to move your weight around a little bit. You might have to do some real deal negotiating. But you need to do that, because you have something that can compete. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Ship is in D.C., wants to weigh in on the Nationals. Ship, what's up? You're on 1067.
Speaking for the older fans, I grew up with Eddie Brinkman, Paul Casanova, Mike Epstein. Saw Frank Howard hit that home run in the last game. It's killing me. This is like hitting a flush on the flop. Shove, baby. We gotta get it right now. Yesterday, I was listening to the game. I saw those two home runs, and I actually turned the game off going, I know what's going to happen. And sure enough, it happened. I want in, baby. Let's go.
In. Ship, I am with you. In. It does, like, there is a part of me that was disappointed, because as soon as those homers took place in the ninth inning, we all, I think, collectively knew this game is over. So it does hurt me a little bit that I did not have faith in the group in the bottom of the ninth inning to turn it around and to steal one from the Yankees. So I can recognize that. Man, I wish I did have the faith in them.
And if you look at, I just want to point out the matchup today. You got one of the worst pitchers in baseball, one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball, going up against a Cy Young, possibly award winner this year. This is going to be very telling today what the offense can do and if you should build around the offense, and that's what we're talking about right now. And there's guys around the league, including up probably an hour away from us in Baltimore, who can be the closer for the Washington Nationals. Tyler Wells is one of them. He's a closer right now, filling in for Ryan Helsley, who's on the IL. There's opportunities out there for the Nationals getting relief pitchers.
And I would love nothing more than to go, as you mentioned, up 95 and get our get back from the Baltimore Orioles and that ownership group. Kind of screwed this team for years with the Masson deal. took a little bit of money out of the pocket of an ownership group that maybe they were going to spend that money. I don't know. That seems, you know, wishful thinking. But maybe they were going to spend that money that they would have gotten had they had a better television deal for all these years. Let's go bully that team up there, because they have some dudes that you can come back with and say, all right, we feel a lot better about what our bullpen situation is.
Rico Garcia is another name.
There are options. They got to go out there. They got to get those options. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Jonesy, what's up, man? You're on 106.7 The Fan.
DJ, what's going on, man? How you been?
I'm good, man. Hope you are, too.
Yes, indeed. Hey, look, I'm with you. We got to strike while the iron is hot, and I feel like the iron is hot as far as this offense go, but the offense do need help. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes what helps out a good offense is a better defense. And that defense really is part comes through pitching. And we need pitchers, because that's how we are pretty much losing games. These are 26 saves. Come on, man. We should be rolling. We are just, I don't know. They need to be biased, because every season is different. This season right now could be different. You know, and where we should be after, you know, all of what you have mentioned, it makes me sick to my stomach to hear some of this stuff, man. But right now, I feel like the iron is hot. We need to go after what we need. Put some money out there. Get rid of these Jimmys and Joes that's pitching between your opening and closing. Because I want to win. I want to win now. I don't know about tomorrow. Tomorrow could be different. Now is the time. So I'm with you on that, man. So go out there, spend some money, get what we need. And that's all that I have to say, Denton. Good hearing you on the radio, my good friend.
Yeah, Jonesy, great to hear from you, man. So here's the thing that we have not touched on. It's the elephant in the room, but I feel like it needs to be spoken about. We talk about this plan that the Nationals have, this process. And for the few people that have called in, and the calls have been great today, but for the few people that have called in and said that they expect the team to sell because they have a long way to go, they have this plan in place. Have you taken into consideration that there might not be a ton of baseball in 27? Because how does that impact the plan for the Nationals? If the expectation is right now, and this is unfortunate, but the expectation, at least for me, is that there is going to be at least a few games, hopefully it's just a few, but at least a few games lost in 27 due to the dispute of the collective bargaining and the owners versus the players, right? With that in mind, it does feel like that should be a little bit larger of an incentive for the learners to be like, let's capitalize now. We don't know what 27 is going to look like. Let's capitalize on what we have right now, because we just don't know what the future holds.
Well, it depends the mindset going into the CBA agreement. Do they think that the owners are going to win and they won't have to spend as much money? That's possible.
Which is, if I had to guess, I would imagine that is how the learners feel.
Of course.
If I just shooting from the hip here with about like 15 years of history, if I had to guess, that's probably how they are sitting here right now. I will amend one thing to what Jonesy said, which is what Wes and I have pretty much been saying for the entirety of the show today. I don't need like great pitching. I need average. I need average bullpen play. Right now, you get average bullpen play with what this offense is and the starting pitchers, which I could, if you want to get another starting pitcher, go get another starting pitcher. Like we are equal opportunity, get as many pitchers, get as many arms as you can. But you just need fine defense. Just fine. I don't need great. I don't need good. I need fine. If you have fine defense and if you have a fine bullpen, then this season's going to be hella fine. You know what I mean? So just go out there and get a couple of arms that really boost to what you have. Gage is in D.C. Gage, you're on 106.7 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, buddy. I'm totally opposite with you.
Give it to me.
Name one player in MLB that can make a difference for this Nats team. Name one player.
I mean, there are some big ones that I don't think are going to get moved. Josh Hader would be a great one. But here's the thing. I don't need one player. Give me like three guys. You get three quality arms that are better than like a Matt Crook.
Agree on that one. Do you realize they are four out of a wild card? The Royals are six out of a wild card. So should they be buying? I mean, this is a three-game difference. You guys, not you guys. I'm a Nats fan, so Nats have. Why would you buy right now?
Different league. That's the American League you're talking about.
So here's what I would say to what you said about the.
We play each other twice a year, three times a year.
So the Royals have 38 wins. They are nine games out. You are correct. They're nine games out. Internally, that organization is like, we are not a playoff team. We're not. Whereas with Washington, your offense right now is good enough to the point where you can justify, hey, if we buy, we could take a pretty big leap above some of the other teams that are currently ahead of us. Whereas the Royals are not saying that. The Angels are not saying that. I would argue that even the Athletics, who are 12 games under 500 but 5.5 games out of the wild card, are not sitting here saying we can take a leap and a bound and make something happen. Washington's offense is what separates them from the other teams that you mentioned. And that's what makes this a little bit convoluted. They're good enough on offense to be a legitimate threat in the National League. They are being hampered by the weakness of the bullpen, because if they were just a little bit better when it comes to their pitching, you could argue they would be well above 50 wins and they would be hovering around the mark right now of 52, 53, and then potentially 54 plus, which if you have 54 plus in the current day, that puts you in a tie or above the Atlanta Braves, who are currently leading the NL East. So there's a difference because Washington's offense is good enough. Whereas you look at, so you mentioned the Royals. The Royals have scored 408 runs on the season. Washington has 511.
Two teams that are over 500. The Dodgers, who spend $1 trillion a year, have 501. The Nationals, whatever their payroll is right now. There's a huge difference between the 38-win Royals and the 48-win Washington Nationals, who are also in a better division.
And one of the differences, so here's the real staunch difference that makes this so unbelievably painful. The Nats have 10 more runs scored right now than the Dodgers do. They have 157 more runs allowed. That's a massive gap. So your offense is good enough to compete. Your defense, your pitching is not nearly good enough. They're one of very few teams that have allowed 500 runs. The Athletics have allowed 518. The Colorado Rockies have allowed 548. They also play in a ballpark where those balls are flying in Colorado. They don't fly like that here out of D.C. Those are the only three teams that have allowed 500 or more runs this year. That's why the Nationals are in a position where I feel like they should be buying, and that's what separates them from the teams that you mentioned of the Royals, the Athletics, who technically are not terribly far back out of the wild card for their respective league, but they're not nearly as good. They don't have nearly as much potential that you could argue the Nationals do, although
have
potential
seen,
is not even the right word.
Have you seen Moneyball?
Oh, yeah, great movie.
He asked the question of one guy to change this team. That's not how it works. The Athletics couldn't replace Jason Giambi. What the Nationals do is go get three pitchers, like I just named three pitchers from the White Sox, who have three. I can name the entire Angels bullpen essentially has a 3 ERA. Go look at the Nationals bullpen. They'll have fives. You go get two or three guys. You just don't get one Josh Hader. You don't win a championship that way. Nobody does.
Nobody. But you get those three or five guys, which, by the way, y'all sleep on Wes. He's an encyclopedia, these guys. You go get some of these guys that he's given out to you. He's just giving free game right now. All of a sudden, this bullpen is competent, and you're feeling really good. Then it just becomes, hey, can this offense sustain itself for the course of the entire season, which is the second biggest question. But I feel way more comfortable with that question versus what we're seeing in the bullpen right now. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. One more segment of your calls as to what Washington should do at the trade deadline. Should they buy? Should they sell? Your calls when we get back. It's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan. It's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan, live and local. We're simulcast on the Team 980 and always on the free and live Odyssey app. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. Our conversation, what are the Nationals going to do at the trade deadline? They blew their 26th save of the season last night against the Yankees. They're back in action in a couple of hours, so maybe they can get one over on the Yankees. But the 26th blown save of the season, and looking numbers-wise at the Nationals, they've had 53 opportunities to have a save, which is the most in Major League Baseball. That's three more than Tampa's 50. And blowing 26 of them, if the bullpen, who has been terrible, was just fine, just middle of the pack in MLB, they're leading the division right now. I crunched numbers, and I said, all right, the median for bullpen save percentage in MLB right now would be 66% compared to the Nationals, who are at 50.9%. So if you take the 53 save opportunities, and then instead of the 50% that they're capitalizing on, you bump that up to 66%, you go from 26 blown saves to 18 blown saves, which 18 is still not a great number, but we'll take it compared to 26. That would give the Nationals, theoretically, another 7 or 8 wins, right? Like, that number is not that math isn't going to be super, super perfect, but just walk with me here. It gives them about 7 or 8 wins, which if they got 7 or 8 wins from 48 and 47 now, 8 wins puts them at 56 and 39, which is about a game and a half above the Atlanta Braves, who currently are at the top of the NL East. So they quite literally are just a competent, fine, average bullpen away from being a team that can compete in the National League. That leads me to believe they should be buying at the deadline. Strike while the iron is hot. You have done everything you needed to on the offensive side. Trust what you have moving over there, but just go get someone's, really plural, because it's not a one-person fix. Go get a couple of different arms that you can throw into the bullpen and say, we rock with these guys, we're going to trust these guys, and if nothing else, they are better than what we have currently been putting out in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. What say you? 800-636-1067. Last opportunity to jump in on the Nationals. Should they buy? Should they sell? Byron is in Texas. Byron, you're on 106.7 The Fan. What's up?
Everything you just said was spot on. And then if you take those wins with an updated bullpen, some of our losses we don't have, and those turn into wins, like you pointed out. Secondly, why not just get rid of some draft capital? We can trade some draft capital for one ace pitcher and then move a couple of minor league pitchers, or I mean players, for pitchers with good arms now, and get like 2 or 3 relievers, and we will be fine. Also, the flip side of this whole coin is last night, I think they should have let the rookie continue to pitch well on into the 9th inning. He was doing just fine. But that whole trying to match up lefty versus lefty, righty versus righty, if you're hot, you're hot. It does not matter who comes up to the plate. You got your kid pitching. He's pitching well. You want to see how he's going to do. Then you let him pitch because he's your future. So you let him pitch. But I think moving pitchers in and out, in and out, in and out, I think it breaks the rhythm of the team. Just my opinion, but I think right now the Nats, bats, if you can get 3 pitchers, 1 starter, I think we'll be cooking with Crisco. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm in agreeance with you. I look at the decision-making yesterday, and Blake Butera said after the game it was part of the process, that they agree with the process. The execution just was not there. Your process is only as good as your players. And they put a guy out there last night that should not have been in that position. Could he find a role on an MLB team? Sure. But he should not have been in that position. He has not earned the right to be in that position outside of the fact that he throws with his left hand. And you can't do that. You can't. I understand the lefty versus lefty dynamic and why that would be enticing to you as a manager and why the baseball people that crunch the numbers would say, hey, we actually really like this. But I have always been, if a guy's rolling, let him go out there again. They didn't want to put him out there, they didn't want to put him out there again for the 9th inning after he had done a pretty good job in the 8th inning. Why not? Just put him out there again and see what happens, because Beter has good numbers against left-handed hitters. which is like the crazy wild card of this entire thing, is they went with the lefty-lefty matchup, but they took out a right-handed guy that has pretty decent numbers against a left-handed guy, and they have continued this really awful trend of them being just terrible at home. In the ninth inning of home games, the Nationals have an 8.08 ERA. They've allowed 46 runs. If you look at their splits, home and away, they're the only team that is above 500 that has a losing record at home, but they don't just have a losing record at home. The Nationals are substantially worse at home than what they are on the road. They're 28-18 away from Nats Park. They're 20-29 at home. That second number shouldn't be like that. That's not entirely on the bullpen, but a lot of it is, because I gave you those numbers. They're in the ninth inning at home. The ERA is 8.08, 46 runs, 14 homers. Those numbers are not good. They cannot be allowed to keep doing what they are doing when they have as good of an offense as they do. 800-636-1067. Mark is in D.C. Mark, you're the final call on the Nats and their future. Give us a good one, my friend. How are you?
Hey, bro, I'm doing good. So I will give you a good one. So first, I'm one of those fans that grew up rooting for the Orioles with my dad, who didn't switch to the Nationals until my old man said, we don't root for Baltimore anymore because we have our own team, and I switched. I want to just say that the Nationals, I agree, they should buy, and they should do whatever they can to not just get one or more, but enough to all the numbers you've been saying, all the stuff that I can't even comprehend, which I love listening to, by the way. But they got to remember, right now, the Commanders have built up their team. The Wizards have built up their team. You better build up your team and take advantage, or else you're going to be that team that, once again, I've been getting tired of them letting go of all these awesome players over the years. And maybe they had their reasons for not keeping guys that we've all fell in love with. But these guys right now are amazing, and we can't close games. And I don't even go on TV. I listen to everything on the radio, or I go to the games, and which they got to spend the money and just do it and make us happy. And even if we don't win the World Series, let's go deep and let's have a fun playoff season. But like you said, we can't close out these games. That's it. And I don't know what we have in trade value. One caller earlier said we got a great farm league and we got great prospects. Maybe there's a team out there that wants prospects and they know they're not going to win, and they got a great closer. Give them what they want, and let's close this up. I love all the numbers you've been throwing at us, but don't let the Wizards, who I've never been excited about for the first time in my life, 48 years, Washington, D.C., born and raised, I'm excited about the Wizards. And don't let Jaden Daniels and the Redskins have a season like 2024, because the Nationals will fall on the backside, and I don't want them to. I want to go to packed stadiums, and I want to win it again. So I've loved all the information you've been throwing out there of what we could be right, if we had closers. So thanks for all that. It's been great listening to you. But, yes, I say buy. Spend the money. You've got the money. Spend it. You can't take it with you. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Mark, I appreciate it. I'm glad you mentioned the Wizards and the Commanders, because there was a call yesterday on Beamichin and Finley, and they posted on social media at 106.7. The Wizards got A.J. DeBonsa. The Commanders got Jaden Daniels. Ovi's still doing it for the Capitals. The Nationals have James Wood. It's a really good time to be a fan in D.C. right now. There are a lot of really, really young superstars, and Alex Ovechkin, but there are a lot of really, really young superstars that feel like all of the teams who have been struggling for the past few years are now moving in the right direction. And what would stink for the Nationals is to allow that to go to waste in a year where you have a legitimate chance to be competitive, because you're sticking to a plan that is this long-term plan and you can't adjust, and you're afraid to spend a little bit of money because this offense is so unbelievably good right now, where if you just had solid in the bullpen, you're competing with Atlanta, you're competing with Milwaukee, and then you're at least sniffing the Dodgers. The Dodgers in the postseason time with all that damn money they've been spending. We'll pump the brakes a little bit, but we've also seen in that championship run when the Dodgers, they weren't spending as much money as they are now, but they were still spending a lot of money, and the Nationals went in there, kicked their ass, right? So we've seen that happen before. All you need is some ones in the bullpen to make just a little adjustment, and all of a sudden this team is competitive, because you're right, training camp starts in like 2 weeks. And once training camp starts with Jaden Daniels coming back and hoping that it's going to be a really good season, much like 2024, there's going to be a lot of attention in this town paid to the Commanders. Do your best if you are the learners and if you are the front office to make sure people are caring about you as the Nationals as well.
You know what's nuts? The historic record for blown saves. You know what it is?
It's like 44, isn't it?
I think it's 34.
And they're creeping up.
And
I mean, they are. They
there's
are
four teams at least have blown 34 saves the entire season. The Rockies in 04, Philly in 21, the last year's Angels, and the 2022 Washington Nationals. And they're at, what, 25 this year?
They're 26.
26. And the All-Star break is coming up starting on, I guess, after tomorrow's game.
So the 2021 Nationals. So there's a bunch of teams that you mentioned blew 34. The 21 Nationals blew 37. Okay. And I mean, there's a chance they are knocking on the door of that already.
Yeah, I mean, it's historic how bad they are.
Terrible. Cannot have it. The second half of the year, that team has to buy. I'm D-Day, Denton Day, in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. We're going to transition. A.J. DeBonsa was awesome. He was not my favorite thing about the Wizards' Summer League debut. I'll tell you what was next on 106.7 The Fan. Like most of you, I paid way too much attention to a Summer League basketball game the other night. I'm glad I did, though. Watching DeBonsta take on Darren Peterson, it was thrilling, man. I don't really care about Summer League, and I'm not going to go too over the top and say that I've been looking at hotels in the year 2050 to get ready for A.J. DeBonsta's Hall of Fame induction. I would not say that. Did I do that? Well, maybe. But I'm not going to say that I did that. It was fun to watch, but I have to admit, as fun as A.J. DeBonsta was, and I loved what I saw from him, we'll break down kind of the things that we saw from him coming up here momentarily, I was equally as impressed with what I saw from Trey Johnson. Trey Johnson, to me, is one of the guys that you're going to be looking at for Washington this year and saying he has a real opportunity to take a big step forward. He's going to see a reduction in minutes more likely than not. My expectation is that it's going to be Trey Young, Keyshawn George, A.J. DeBonsta, Anthony Davis, Alex Saar as the starting five, with Trey Johnson being one of the first guys off of the bench. But I thought the way that he was able to create his own shot, albeit it's Summer League, and the thing that about Summer League that is so, shall we say, funny, but also difficult to comprehend, is that in every single game, you got like five players that are legitimately good players. They're going to legitimately get NBA minutes. And you got like 12 other dudes that are out there. And like, they're there. They're fighting for some two ways. They'll play overseas. They're still good basketball players. But in like the tier ranking system, in the overall zeitgeist of NBA hoops, there's a lot of dudes that were playing in this game that are not really going to see an NBA floor unless they find themselves on a team like what the Wizards have been doing the past few years, which is tanking. And Adam Silver theoretically is trying to take these guys out of jobs with some of his non-tanking rules. But what I saw from Trey Johnson and why it was so impressive to me is because it really is starting to feel like he was playing at a different speed than everybody else in the Summer League. And I need that. Because him playing at a different speed than everybody else signifies to me that the game's slowing down for him. And what I mean by a different speed, sometimes, most times, when people say that, it feels like the reference is that they're playing much faster than everybody else. That it's like natural athleticism, God-given stuff that's making it easier for them to get to the basket. Like, think what John Wall was in his first year in the NBA, where he was playing at a different speed than everybody else because he had a speed that not everybody else had. That's not what Trey Johnson was doing. Trey Johnson was working to get his spots. And it felt like, again, in Summer League, but it felt like he was dictating the defense. He was manipulating the defense in a way that I thought was really, really awesome. And it's not that I didn't think he had that in him, but it's one of those things that you really have to see to believe. And he went for 26 on 11 of 20, 2 of 8 from three-point range, so you want to see that obviously get better. But the position that he's going to be in, I think, for Washington is going to be a lot of catch and shoots, But if you now have the opportunity or the ability to create your own shot, create some shots for others as well, which not like he's a create a shot for me kind of a guy, at least now. But if you have that ability, not only does that put you as the first guy off of the bench, but it gives Washington something that they didn't have even in the John Wall, Bradley Beal era, which is offense off of the bench. You know, in those Wall and Beal years, it felt like every single year they were trying to get another point guard that wouldn't completely stagnate the offense when John Wall came out of the game. And they tried everybody. Maynard, Sessions, Andre Miller, he was my favorite. Ty Lawson, Brandon Jennings. Like, the list is very lengthy of point guards that they went and signed to be like, please keep this offense moving when Wall is off the floor. And none of them were able to do it at a high level. That game 7 against Boston, the bench had 5 total points. They had nothing off of the bench. So the fact that now, as we go into this season, expecting that Trey Johnson's going to be coming off of the bench, but watching him as a guy that can create his own shot and can dictate the flow of the game, can manipulate the defense, if that doesn't excite you, I mean, what is going to excite you for this Wizards team? Obviously, DeBonsta was awesome. He checked so many boxes, but watching what Trey Johnson did was what I really took away from outside of the DeBonsta stuff. I mean, watching AJ DeBonsta throw a dunk down that's a thing of beauty. Watching him play some defense, come away with a block, is a thing of beauty if you know how he played defense in college. Didn't have a lot of blocks. In fact, ironically, the guy that he played against, Darren Peterson, in college had more blocks despite playing like 11 less games than AJ DeBonsta. So to see him active on defense, that was really, really exciting. But I loved what Trey Johnson did. And that gives me even more excitement for what Washington's going to be like. I've always said, this is a playoff team, not a play-in team. If they play to their potential, this is a playoff team. And a team that I think is in the second tier, bottom of the second tier, top of the third tier in the Eastern Conference, with Philadelphia and New York being the top tier. New York is obviously the champ. Philadelphia, with the acquisition of Jaylen Brown, they're right in there as well. The second tier is like your Clevelands, your Torontos, if that Kawhi deal actually goes through. That's up in the air, LOL. And then potentially Washington. I see it. I'm in there. Detroit's in there as well. I'm in there. And if they're not in that tier, they're at the very top of the third tier. I like the Washington roster better than Charlotte. I like them. Don't come to me about no damn Miami Heat. I know they're fighters over there, literally. Ask Tyler Hero. I know they're fighters over there. But top to bottom, I like the Washington roster a lot better than what I like with Miami. They got two dudes in Giannis and Bam. Giannis, great player. Bam, really good player. I know he scored 83 against this team, but refs in the pocket. Alex Star only played 20 minutes. I'm not putting too much stock into that. I like the Wizards better than Miami. I like the Wizards better than Charlotte. And honestly, you would not have to twist my arm that hard to say that I like the Wizards better than Cleveland. It would not. You're not twisting my arm terribly hard. Like, you're really not. I can get there pretty easily. I'm Denton Day, D-Day in D.C. We got word. Is AJ DeBonsta going to play in game number 2? He answered that question. I'll share it with you when we get back right here on 106.7 The Fan. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan, at The Denton Day on Twitter, where you can find me. After watching AJ DeBonsta's debut in Summer League, I was good, man. That's all I needed to see. He checked every box. He was explosive. He could create a shot. He could get his teammates involved. Could rebound. Played a little bit of defense. I saw everything I needed to see. If you would have wanted to say, hey, that's it, we don't need to see him play in game number 2, I would have been totally fine with it. But that's why I'm Denton Day and not AJ DeBonsta. Because AJ DeBonsta, according to Josh Robbins at The Athletic, he's good to go. Sunday against the Kings, he's going to be there. And then Robbins writes, the Wizards will evaluate whether DeBonsta plays on a game-by-game basis. Now, this should be it. That should be the amount of games that AJ DeBonsta plays in Summer League. 2 of them. And this is not like a I'm scared of injury take. It's more, I don't really know what he's gaining from this take. He was the best player on the floor against the Jazz. Maybe you could argue Trey Johnson. I love Trey Johnson. But those two guys were the best players on the floor. I thought he was better than Darren Peterson. I like Darren Peterson. Thought he was better than Darren Peterson. And again, everything that you wanted to see from him in a summer league debut, you saw. Athleticism, he could drive to the left, he could drive to the right, he could hit the mid-range, tough shots, contested shots. He did everything offensively. He got the crowd involved. I mean, on that dunk, I just rewatched it. Hadn't realized at the time, the entire Wizards bench up. When I say the bench, I don't mean the summer league bench. I mean the courtside bench. They had the entire team there. Highlighted by one Anthony Davis, who's up, cheering. Oh my God, this young rookie. Look at him go. I've seen enough. He is too good for summer league. I obviously want him to continue to develop, but I think you can develop A.J. DeBonsta and get him ready to play without trotting him out there against guys that he is clearly better than. Because that's really what it comes down to. When it comes to summer league and evaluating how much you want a guy that has the potential and really the expectation to be your superstar in the face of your franchise for years to come, is he really gaining anything by going and playing against guys that at their absolute ceiling are on two-way deals? More likely than not, there's a bunch of guys that are going to be playing in various European leagues. There's not a lot to be gained there. In fact, it feels like it's bullying because he's so much better than everybody else. So I'm good. Once he plays the Kings, so long as he doesn't go like 0 of 18, so long as he doesn't look completely dreadful, which he won't, that's all I need to see from A.J. DeBonsta. Get him ready. Get him practicing with the guys. You know, let's see these. I want to see him on that YouTube thing that they do. I think they do with a YouTube video series. I want to see him on there. And then let's line it up and get ready for the regular season. I'm Denton Day, D-Day, in D.C. What did you think of A.J. DeBonsta's debut? 800-636-1067. Plus, training camp is approaching. What are the Commanders actually going to do with wide receiver? I answer that question for you when we get back right here on 106.7 The Fan.